Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Well, as I stepped into this place this morning, like I said, I feel like I stepped in and we've stepped into a new thing that God is doing, which is awesome. So good. And I feel like, you know, as I was preparing to preach today, I felt like, you know, he's reviving us. He's reviving our hearts individually. And we're getting hungrier for his presence. Like you could sense it today. You could see it today. Not for anything that we can get through that, but just for him. Just for him. We're just getting hungrier for him and it's awesome. And I feel like, you know, I was sharing this morning at devotion, our volunteer devotion, that it's a year of coming back to a simple walk with God, to the simplicity of our walk with God. And, you know, I've been in the book of Hosea this year, and it's so simple when you read this book. I mean, it's a pretty confronting book to read. Go and read it. You know, what jumped off the page at me as I was reading this book, that it's so easy to see what God values reading this book, that he values our steadfast love for him throughout the seasons. He values our faithfulness to him, regardless of what those seasons look like, and that we desire to continually know him. It's so simple. And when we come back to the simplicity of this, we create space for God. You know, with our own thoughts, with our own opinions, with our own, with the noise, the distractions, it takes up so much space in our lives. But when we come back to the simplicity, we create space to experience him, like this morning was awesome, to follow him. And he has then space to do extraordinary supernatural things for his glory through us. And so as a church, as Pneuma Church, but also as Pneuma Melbourne West, we are in a new season. And we've already stepped into a new season. And we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 43, 18 to 21. It will come up on the screen behind me. There it is, if you don't have your Bibles. It's a lot of us in this room would know this scripture. It says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people who I formed for myself that they might declare my praise." You know, this is a passage of scripture that is very synonymous with a new season. And for us as Pneuma Melbourne West specifically, I want to speak to us about that. Yes, God is doing a new thing and it's awesome. And we need to hold on to and build on the things that we already know and have been given. We can and must step into the new thing by continuing to abide in him, holding on to the things we already know about God and the testimonies of his goodness of the years gone by. Now, it's so important that we just don't chase the next shiny thing and let go of the things that matter most. Because this is where we're prone to become undone. We make the plain and simple, complicated and unsustainable. And what happens when we complicate things is that we take and we chase after the shiny next thing is that we take the focus of Jesus and we put them onto other things. And I read something this week, and I can't remember who said it, but it said this in a roundabout way. Faithfulness seems boring if we are constantly running after the next thing. And so this passage in Isaiah, the prophet is not talking about the next thing. He's talking about the new thing, yeah? And there's a big difference because the next thing is the logical next step, next thing in a sequence. And a new thing is something that's completely original and unfamiliar. So it's not the same thing. God doesn't recycle the old thing. He makes all things new. And I feel like in this season for us as a location, he's doing something new. Now, that doesn't and shouldn't disregard what God did last year and the years before in our church, in our individual lives. However, it should give us more faith and fill our hearts with more anticipation for what he will do now and in the future. You know, this passage in Isaiah 43 shows us there's a sense in which we must remember the past. If you read the whole passage, and we've just read a portion, we must remember God's great works. Remember and rejoice, remember and give thanks. That's what we did this morning. Remember and praise him. And there is also a clear instruction and encouragement in the passage that we read to forget and forsake the past. This might sound confused. It might sound like a contradiction, but it's not. So let's dig in. Here, in the context of this passage, God's people were reminded about the Exodus. If you read in verses 14 to 17, Isaiah talked about how God brought Israel out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and the drowning of Pharaoh and his army. These things are worthy to be remembered. You need to remember them with praise and thankfulness and to the glory of God and for the encouragement of our faith. But it doesn't mean that God was undervaluing these testimonies. But he was saying this. Let's get this. He was saying, you can't compare the Exodus to the coming deliverance from Babylon. And you can't compare the coming captivity and exodus of Babylon to what God would do in sending his one and only son for us. Essentially, he's saying, don't put me in a box and think you know everything by what I've done in the past, for which the people in this context was the Exodus. He's saying, I can do all things and I'm doing a new thing. Because he's so out of our time and our understanding. For our limited human understanding, it can sometimes be a barrier to what God wants to do. It's always something to be mindful of as we unpack this scripture and what it means for us this morning. Are you with me? So now, 2026, we live in hindsight of the greatest act of love the world has ever known, that we've ever known, right? Jesus. And God is still doing a new thing. He wants to do something new within us and amongst us that we don't have a reference point for. The past, whether that's been good, whether that's brought defeat and discouragement, in order to move on to what God has for us in the future, we must move with him to even see the new thing. So what do we need to remember? God is constantly doing a new thing, but that does not negate the ancient things that are essential for us as followers of Jesus to hold on to. These are the things that help us actually perceive and see and discern what is the new thing, to abide and to follow and remain in him, or how will we know what the way is? So these are the things that we cannot subcontract to anyone else. To our life group leader, to the pastor, to a mentor. These are the simple things, the quote-unquote boring things that are the evidence of our devotion and faithfulness to God. And one, which I preached a sermon this time last month on abiding, we need to get into the Word and get the Word on the inside of us. And it's so true. We must be in the Word to grow in our knowledge of God. You know, I just studied last year. Thank the Lord, no more study this year. But I had to open books to learn about the topic that I was, signed up to learn about. And I had to read those books and I had to get that knowledge and practice it. And now I know stuff that I didn't know this time last year and the year before. So how are we going to know Jesus more? How are we going to know about what he wants us to do and where we should go if we don't get in the Word? To grow in our knowledge of God, to be encouraged, to be challenged, to be convicted, we need to be in the Word. But remember, there's two things side by side, not just to be in the word, but to be, as James says, doers of the word. Yeah, do what it says, follow. Second thing, prayer. It's our connection to God. And this is the way we build and grow in our relationship with God. And I can't remember who said this again. It's just saying roundabout quotes this morning because I tried to find it. I couldn't find it. But I remember I saw somewhere that said, if we're not praying, it might be an indicator that we are too self-dependent. If we are not praying, it might be an indicator that we're too self-dependent. If we have a growing relationship with God, prayer is the foundation of that relationship. If we don't, maybe we need to take a closer look at our prayer life. Worship. How beautiful was worship this morning? It was awesome. Such a joy to be in worship. Worship is our response to God. It's not for our emotional regulation or to make ourselves feel good. These might be byproducts of worship, but we worship because he's worthy. Like we've been singing this morning, he's so worthy of our worship. Full stop, end of story. And we were made to worship him. And when you think of the thread that binds these things together, the thread in these things, the word, prayer, worship, is remembrance. When we get in the word, when we remember what he said, when we pray and when we worship, we are causing ourselves, our minds, our hearts to remember who God is and how good he is. It's so easy to forget if we're not constantly engaging in these pillars of our faith. I don't know about you, but when I get into the word, I can't help but think about the goodness of God and his immense love. Like I said, I've been in Hosea and it's just interrupted me in the most beautiful way. This is a book I've read before, but there are new things that have jumped off the page to me and there are things that I've been reminded of. And those things have strengthened my relationship with God. And I can't begin to pray and not thank God for how good he's been to me. You have a lot of things to be thankful for when you've just come back from holiday. So I was like, oh, Lord, thank you so much. But anytime, we can thank God for everything, the air we breathe, you know, all these things that we can open our mouth and it just flows out of us how good he's been. Thankfulness, gratefulness. And I can't listen to a song like we sang today and not jump out of my skin when it declares who God is. There is no one like the Lord. Like, I don't know about you, but that's not a passive song for me. I want to jump out of my skin and declare that. I can't sing that song like, there's no one like the Lord. It's true. It's my testimony. That's what I know. There's no one like the Lord. When we think about his goodness and we sit in communion, how can we forget? Oh man, it causes us to remember how good he is. So when we hold on to these things, we become more open to God and open to the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the great examples of this is found in Psalm 143. David's at the end of his strength, the end of his tether. His enemies have all but broken him. And then he says this in verses 4-6. He says, therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all you have done. I ponder the works of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Wow. Even at the end of his strength, David remembered what God had done. Not only that, he meditated on it. He pondered. And David responds to God by what? By stretching out his hands. Worship, his soul thirsting for God. And as a byproduct of his response, he receives courage, strength to continue. So when we hold on and build on these pillars of faith, we also start to mature. We start to become more like Jesus. We start growing alongside others as well. Start learning how to live in community with one another. Grow towards unity. and our lives start to reflect Jesus in a way where we grow in our close relationships. The people closest to us go, whoa, you would have responded like that before, but now you've responded like this. We start to grow in our close relationships and to the witness, in our witness to the world around us. So these are the things we need to hold on to. We cannot let go of these things to chase the shiny things, the shiny next things, no matter how good they may seem. But, you know, I always talk to the team about let's not go after the good thing. There are many good things, even in church. There are many good conferences. There are many good podcasts. There are many good books. Let's not go after the good thing. Let's run after the God thing. There's a big difference. So what not to remember? What to remember, what not to remember, not the former things, the word says. What does this actually mean? Well, we know. I know that many in this room would know the feeling of being stuck in the past. I do, for sure. Staying stuck in the past can keep us from the new thing God wants us to step into. And if Israel, in the context of this scripture, stayed stuck in the discouragement and seduction of Babylon, they would never look for the new thing to be released from exile. If they were stuck in the failure and sin and discouragement of the past, they would never look forward to the new thing that God had for them. And you know what? It's human nature to say, the good old days. Ah, the good old days. We all do it. I do it sometimes. But I want to read this quote to you that C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, Letters to Malcolm. He said this, It seems to me that we often, almost sulkily, reject the good that God offers us because at that moment we expected some other good. On every level of our life, we are always harking back to some occasion which seemed to us to reach perfection, setting up that as a norm and depreciating all other occasions by comparison. God shows us a new facet of his glory and we refuse to look at it because we're still looking for the old one. It's that thing of kind of going, no, this is the Exodus. This is, look at what God can do. That's all he can do. No. It's the same thing of putting God in a box. This is all you can do. The good old days. And it's like the Israelites complained after they were freed from slavery. They said, oh, we should have just stayed in Egypt because they didn't believe everything that God said he would do. And this is why we need to remember the past. It's so important. We need to hold on to those pillars because they so quickly forget all that God had done. And I know we hate, like I can be such a hater on these people. And be like, oh my gosh, they so forgot. But I have done that and I do that. I forget. You know, we forget. And the Israelites were really saying the unknown is terrifying. At least in Egypt, we knew what to expect. Have you done that before? Oh, I just should have stayed in that job, even though I was miserable. Just should have stayed there because at least I knew what to expect. Or I should have kept that car or stayed in that relationship. Why? Because it's familiar. We're prone to do this as humans. You know, another reason we cannot run towards what God has for us as individuals and as a church if we have one foot in the past and one foot in the future in terms of things weighing us down or holding us back from moving forward. Maybe we're holding on to things that are keeping us unhealed. Maybe there's bitterness. Maybe we're stuck in a victim mentality. Maybe it's unforgiveness or holding a grudge, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Insert here, whatever it is. There is no way we can move forward if we don't acknowledge, deal with, and start healing from these things. It's just not going to happen. You know, we think that sometimes, you know, if we're going through something and we know we need to heal, sometimes we think if we move location, oh man, everything's going to get better. We're just moving our problem from this place to this place. Nothing changes. I've done it. Can anyone say amen if you've done it? Maybe you don't want to say it, but I've done it. I can do Thank you. I see that hand. I see two hands at the back. It's awesome. That's the thing, right? You can't do that. we need to acknowledge, deal with, and start hurting these things. It's like, you know, what we know, what is being said a lot. God can't heal what we don't reveal. So there's almost an urgency in Isaiah saying these things. Remember not the former things, or else we run the risk of not seeing the new thing that God is birthing, that God is doing, that he wants us to step into. So what do we need to acknowledge today about our own lives? Maybe we need to ask God to help us start healing from something. What do we need to let go of maybe this morning or afternoon? We've just ticked over in. And you know, I love how God, he covers all the bases. Just at the time where our human flesh will start asking 1,000 questions about the how, what, where, when, he says this, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me and the jackals and the ostriches, for I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. Now it's important to note, when Isaiah prophesied this, he prophesied it before the Babylonians ever conquered Judah and sent the nation into a 70-year exile. Yet Isaiah prophesies not only about the coming captivity, but also beyond it to the eventual judgment upon Babylon and for what they will do to Judah. So it seems, again, like a contradiction when he's saying, now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Now, it's a very immediate word. Now, yes? Do you not see it? But this is speaking to our spiritual eyes. Do you see it? Will we see it? Because we know God's outside of time and space as we know it. So when he is asking us, do you not perceive it? What is he really asking us? Do you really trust me? Because faith gives us eyes to see things that do not exist yet. We need to abide and be consistent and faithful and rely on his word, pray to see what he's showing us. And these things help us to grow in our trust of him. In these verses, God is saying, even when you end up in exile, you don't need to be afraid, because God would make a road in the wilderness, provide rivers in the desert, and even protect his people from animals. The beasts of the field will honor me, he says. We are so prone to worry, even when it comes to things that God has spoken to us so clearly about. And in his beautiful way, he said, don't worry about all the details. I have everything under control. I have unlimited resources. I've got this. Yeah. And, you know, talking about 2026 for Newman Melbourne West, one of the things that God has been speaking to me and the team about for 2026 is to be intentional about finding a more permanent home as a location. Yeah? And I'd be lying to you, which I'm not going to do because I'm in church and I've got the microphone, if I said we were in the greatest financial position to do this, because we're not. But we feel, even if it doesn't make any sense at all, or, you know, not any sense at all, but makes sense, to move forward because God is leading us. We might worry about how, what, where, when, but God says, just take the first step because I'm calling you and follow me in this. And it's really up to us if we trust him and have the faith to follow. So I want to encourage and just ask you all to be praying with us. Yeah, because I am confident that God will lead us somewhere amazing. But this is, you know, we've got to all take ownership of this as a church. I want to invite the worship team. He says, the wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. We've said it a lot today. I felt like God's just been speaking through the songs we've sung, through the worship, through communion, through prayer. As a church, the reason we exist as God's people is that we would declare his praise and give him glory. Full stop. Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine among men that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. In the same chapter, Isaiah 43:7 says this, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God created us to display his glory. That his glory might be known and praised through our lives. We are the vessels that house the Spirit of God. Isn't that crazy? It always blows my mind. And at the end of the day, this is the reason we exist. It's not to curate church services and midweek services, though that's awesome. I love it. I love coming to all of it. That's all good, but it's all a vehicle to give glory to God. And we exist for so much more than that. It's not just a service, not just, a Sunday. Overall, we exist so his glory may be known throughout the earth. And it is all for his glory. So the new thing isn't so that we would feel fulfilled or proud of ourselves as a church. It's not a measuring stick for success. The new thing, the old things, they're all a means to give him glory so that the world would know, so that the nations would know, so that Australia would know, so that Victoria would know, so that Melbourne would know, so that the West would know him. And that's really the evidence that we know that we're doing this right. Like today, we're so hungry for him. When we fall more in love with him, people falling in love with Jesus, following him, their lives changing, transformation, and then they tell others about him. I'm going to get you to stand with me. Newman, Melbourne West. Like I said at the beginning, I'm ready to run in 2026. I'm ready to run after Jesus, fully leaning into the new thing that God has for us while holding on to and building on to these ancient pillars of our faith. And we're going to do something that is really important as we begin running together. As we have Vision Sunday next week, is we're going to pray together. And yeah, I'm going to pray from the front, but it's all of us. I want all of us to pray. And first thing, we're going to pray for each other. So I'm going to pray for, but I want you to raise your voice and pray for those who need to let something go today in order to move forward with Jesus this morning. If it's you, pray over you. If you don't have anything to let go, pray for others in this room who need to do that this morning. And then we're going to pray for our church. We're going to pray for this new season, finding a permanent home, a more permanent home for Newman Melbourne West, and the new thing that he's doing. And we're going to prophesy over our church, because it's our church, all of us.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.